Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the North American Wrestling Connection. I am Robert Sadlin, and yes, it's hot, it's steamy, but I am still fully clothed. Joining me in this extradentuous affair tonight, we have Nikki Heyman.
Konnichiwa.
Ladies and gentlemen, the game might be hot, spicy, and taste great, but you'd have to go through a bear first in order to get to her.
And Bear, who is not with me this evening, would be more than happy to stand in front of me and stop anyone who would like to attempt a taste. But that's not why we're here tonight, is that correct?
No, however, for those that watched Raw last Monday night, you actually got to saw Bear.
As he was standing behind me the entire evening, as we greeted several individuals, including the returning Jeff Hardy. For anyone who has a copy of Raw, that's probably the best place to take a look.
Yes, her looking at Jeff Hardy and not Hardcore Holly's pink tights. But then again, who could blame her because they're so pink?
Hardcore Holly may be a staple in wrestling, but he does not deserve to wear heart pink.
Somebody get him some longer tights, that.
Now, his life's not that bad. He just needs different color tights.
By the way, I wanted to point this out, but remember the NWA?
Vaguely.
Well, they're going to be doing they have their own Hall of Fame.
Okay.
excuse me. It'll be at the Phillips Arena in Atlanta, Georgia. Be part of the June 7, 2008 NWA event at the Phillips Arena, headlined by Rod Conway, X-Pac, the Rock and Roll Express, and Sid Vicious.
If Sid shows.
No, Sid will show.
No, he won't.
What do you mean?
Well, if you want to hear a little bit more about my road trip, Sid Vicious was supposed to do quite a bit of showing up on my road trip.
And let me guess, he didn't show.
He no-showed 3 events back to back to back.
Whoa.
Including an autograph session.
Damn. Shall I tell people how to interact with the show?
Absolutely. Please.
For those that are listening to us right now, we have the chat room available for you. For your perusal, and you can also call in at 1-646-716-9678. Tune in, listen, and enjoy. And hear us talk about wrestling.
Mostly wrestling. We'll go off on a tangent at least once tonight.
Well, we have 2 hours, so we can afford it.
There you go.
Oh, did you hear the biggest non-wrestling news that happened this week?
Nick Hogan finally getting his butt put in jail?
And being raped by a guy named Bubba?
That wasn't part of the story.
Oh,
yet.
No. Yeah. No, actually, just yesterday, the California State Chief Justices ruled in favor 4-3 to get rid of the California gay marriage ban.
I'm surprised they even had one.
Well, they did. And sure, it's not going to be put into effect until at least June 15th. And Schwarzenegger's not going to contest it.
That's only because the next time he'd go to San Francisco, he'd be assaulted.
Yeah, and be around all these girly men.
And all those girly men will throw their high-heeled shoes at them. Oh, no, I'm sorry. I retract that.
Jamie told me that some of the guys do wear high-heeled shoes, but yeah. Anyways, it's because she took a vacation in San Francisco a month or so ago.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, we need to get to work. This isn't Wrestle Crap Radio where we talk, where they talk 30 minutes straight on and have no wrestling news.
All right. Where do you want to start?
No wrestling stories. Let's talk about a road trip.
Which one? I have 2,100 miles and two different weekends.
Well, it's a 2-hour show. We'll start with the first weekend.
All right. Yes, let us wind up the Wayback Machine. I'll take you back to a rainy evening on May 2nd in Hamilton, Ohio, where Generation of Destination Wrestling had a very small, simple show in front of about 200 screaming kids. As you know, Generation of Destination Wrestling is a wrestling ministry, and our promoter and champion, Cincinnati Kid Russell Jones, is our preacher, also our top belt holder. I was given the honor of emceeing and general managing for the evening. I also had my first real opportunity to work on the ring assembly. We have an old WCW ring, one that was actually used on several Thunder tapings. And that thing takes about 90 minutes to set up with five or six people who kind of know what they're doing. This was a short show, four matches. We had a lot of people work twice. We did have some minor audio problems, mainly because I went walking up to the kids who were running the audio with seven CDs in my hand going, "We're going to switch between each of these CDs for all the entrances." And their eyes got about this big. So when one entrance ran late, somebody yelled, "Why don't you sing it?" So I sang.
Oh, no.
No. I didn't sing a particular wrestling anthem, but I sang. And Jillian Hall would have wept. Unfortunately, we do not have any photos or video of the show available yet online. I apologize for that. I spoke with a photographer earlier this evening. Her name is also Nikki. They should be coming up in the coming weeks. She's a professional photographer. She also has proms to work with, and we're coming in on wedding season. So she's going to be up to her neck in a lot of other projects. Video might be a little missing. All I know is that there was a student there with a handy cam. I'd like to see that video. That Saturday, I was on the road to Indianapolis for Insanity Pro Wrestling. This is a wonderful little promotion. If you are in the Indianapolis, Muncie area, please attend their shows the first Saturday of every month. They are pretty much a who's who of local talent. They also have guests from Ring of Honor, such as the Irish Airborne and Davey Richards. Have a lot of restaurant quality talent in the ring, such guys as Vincent Nothing, Pure Dynamite Billy Rock, and some of the most talented super heavyweights that I have seen in a long time, including the Cyrus and Hillbilly Jed. I'll be getting back to them because they worked American Luchador. Well, the highlight of my evening at this particular show was that I ran into Irish Airborne's Dave Crist, along with their standard play-by-play and color guys, messing around on the microphones during the first half of the show. Their color guy, Mr. Taylor, offered me a seat and allowed me to do some heel commentary for the second half of the IPW show.
Nice.
Dave Crist was very impressed, and he asked me to come back. Now, of course, I am doing this still without the permissions of videographer New Horror Sammy Callahan, but I think he's aware that I've had a microphone in my hands. I'm going back on June 7th to their next show, and I'm hoping to commentate the entire event.
As face, heel, play-by-play?
Most likely heel commentary, heel color.
Nothing wrong with some heel colors.
I enjoy the role. Some of the heels in the company are guys that I've watched extensively, including I believe they're called the Messiahs of the New Age, Dustin Reyes and Sweet Lou Roberts. These are two really great guys. Although admittedly their manager looks like the assistant from Home Improvement.
Debbie Dunning.
Huh?
Debbie Dunning, Richard Kern, or if you want to go way back, Pam Anderson's role.
No, Richard Kern.
I don't think so, Nikki.
Well, it's all right. I've got a DVD coming from this show, and hopefully I'll be able to play some of it for us on a later event. Sunday. Now, this will refer back to my comments earlier about Sid Vicious. I woke up extra early that Sunday morning to drive to Gibraltar, which is an indoor flea market in Taylor, Michigan. This place has athletes and wrestlers and all sorts of other celebrities that come and sign every weekend. Your mileage may vary, but I've had some very good luck up there. This location were my first encounters with Edge, with Mick Foley, with Batista just before his face turn. And this particular day, Sid Vicious and Al Snow were on the docket. I'm driving up to Michigan. Now, from Columbus, that's about 3 hours. I'm somewhere around Bowling Green, which means I'm close to two-thirds of the way there, when my phone rings. It is a representative from Gibraltar apologizing that Sid Vicious will not be at the event. And I said, well,
I guess he forgot his scissors.
I think he forgot his squeegee, actually. Either that or he was supposed to work in Canada and couldn't get the squirrel back over the border. My money was refunded. But unfortunately, I was already two-thirds of the way there, so it would be stupid of me to turn around. But, well, I'm going to see Al at 2 o'clock. I can kill time until then. I get to the facility. We talk about the Al Snow thing, and they say it starts at 3 o'clock and not 2. So now I have yet another hour to kill, and I have no money. I have a few bucks. I go get me some lunch, make some phone calls, pound on my laptop. I finally go get in line. I get a phone call that Sid Vicious will not be at the event either. However, replacements have been lined up. So when I walk up to Al, he's first rather flabbergasted because he's used to seeing me in Cincinnati and Louisville. So, of course, the first thing out of his mouth is, what in the world are you doing in Michigan? I said, well, I was here to see Sid. And he said, I hope that's not the only reason you were up here. And I said, no, I'm going to Primetime Wrestling at the Diamondback Saloon in Belleville. He said, really? So am I. And so is Rhino.
Nice.
I said, excellent, excellent. I will see you there. So once that autograph... Huh?
No, go on.
Oh, once that autograph session was wrapped up, I drove over to Belleville, which was only about a 20-minute drive, to this little bitty bar where they had, I think it was a 22-foot ring, an old JCW ring.
Juggalo Championship Wrestling?
Them.
Oh,
set up on their dance floor. Oh, this ring was a piece of crap. And I felt so bad for the promoter. Kingpin Dave Martin deserves better. He came down and apologized to everybody because he was even expecting Sid. Sid didn't even have the peace of mind to get on the bloody plane. So Sid lost himself a couple of really good paydays and probably a lot of future work. I had some very good luck at this show. I did a little bit of recruiting. I recruited my first Well, let's see, how many people did I get? One, two, three, four. I had a lot of re-signing, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. I put 10 people from that show on my website, a few of which are indeed new. I got my first pure Japanese wrestler, Raijin Akira.
Nice.
I got a new picture with Al Snow, and this was important because Head was with him. I had never looked at Head.
Stop you right now, but we got another caller.
Really? Who's there?
Evening.
Hello.
Hey, Trisha, how are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
We're doing all right. We're in part one of Nikki's road trip.
Oh, sorry to interrupt.
And after this, we're going to talk some TNA Sacrifice, and we're going to be going Monday Night Raw.
Sounds good.
So, Nikki?
Okay, where was I? Raijin Akira, Al Snow, and Head, finally. Jamie D., female wrestler, anybody who remembers Bound for Glory 06, this was the woman who crashed the Battle Royal at the beginning of the show. Finally got my hands on independent wrestler Tyson Booth. And re-signed a bunch of TNA guys, including Johnny Devine, Eric Young, Scott D'Amore, Petey Williams, alias Little Petey Pump. See, did I say Robert Roode? I got him, too. And one of Michigan's biggest, quite literally, independent wrestlers, Eddie Venom. All 6'10" of him, plus his 6 inches of mohawk. Among the other activities, I was interviewed by KMAX Sports' Stephen Bexley. And the interview ended up not really airing on their wrestling program back on the 9th. The audio was horrible, but he walked in with an old-school tape recorder, so that's his fault.
Like, what? No, it could be worse.
How's that?
You could have one of those Home Alone 2 talk boys.
Oh, dear.
Those things are amazing.
Oh. Just to give him a plug, Steve Bexley is one of a handful of hosts for a group called The Wrestle Hut, who is having their radio show right now on KMAXSports.com. Since we start later, or we will be starting later again starting next week, I'm probably going to go poke my head in over there and at least say hey to them.
Okay.
But all in all, a great weekend. That ring from PTW, however, I understand is going to be put to pasture, or hopefully thoroughly shot. That took care of weekend number one, total 1,009 miles.
And we'll have weekend two and the second half of the show.
All right.
Because we're going to talk what happened last week. But in order to do that, we're going to talk about Sacrifice first, because it's, you know, it kind of requires talking about.
Pardon me.
There was a change in the card, because Kurt Angle had 3 cracked vertebrae and 2 herniated discs in his neck and couldn't wrestle. These injuries happened while he was wrestling in South Korea. So Kurt Angle gets around.
Indeed he does. Now when is he going to get the surgery just to get the spring installed?
Once we start calling him Spring Man, like in Mega Man 7.
I was just going to call him Bobblehead Angle.
Oh.
Boingy, 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 boingy. Or make him a Rock'em Sock'em robot.
Anyways, this pay-per-view was taped at the Impact Zone, one of the last pay-per-views that will be done at the Impact Zone. Since TNA said by 2009, all the pay-per-views will be on the road.
Good for them.
And Victory Road 2008 will be in Houston, Texas.
That's a little out of my range.
Which you could expect some pre-show stuff from Booker's school.
I wouldn't mind seeing myself.
PWA Booker's organization.
Mm-hmm.
We start with the first round of the Deuces Wild tournament, Matt. Deuces Wild tournament for the tag team titles. Team 3D defeats Stinging Cowboy James Storm. Start out with no surprise there. But we get some good luck as Rhino and Christian Cage defeat Robert Roode and Booker T.
As expected, I mean, Roode and Booker T are a rather combustible element, as the last 7 or 8 months might have told us.
Until that night, when Booker T shook hands with Christian Cage and Rhino, but turned heel and whacked them both over the head with chair shots.
God.
I had to pull a Lynn Thigpen wearing the world is Carmen San Diego type of swerve right there.
You sure it wasn't Vince Russo?
No, I'm sure it was wearing the world's Carmen San Diego. Now we started talking about this nice match until today when, never mind. We get a backstage segment with Scott Steiner trying to convince Kevin Nash to turn on Joe, promising Nash the first title shot if Steiner wins the TNA world title. Nash said he would literally think about it.
For all of 5 seconds before he had a beer.
Yeah. In good news, LAX defeated Kip James, and we have some interesting news about one of our favorite shows. Ready?
Ready.
Yes. It's back! American Gladiators is back! Alright, that's enough.
Yeah.
LAX defeated Kip James and Beast!
And they really want to build this up. And frankly, I would pay a lot of money just to watch Beast and Wolf beat the tar out of each other in a match.
Actually, what I mean by Beast is Matt Morgan. All those rumors by him sticking with TNA, greatly exaggerated.
Essentially.
Yes,
I don't think so.
Meltzer and Alvarez lied to you.
Shame on them. Do we fire them now or wait till we get home?
Well, they're kind of self-sufficient.
Yeah, Trista.
True. And we have AJ Styles and Super Eric defeat BG James and Awesome Kong. Which is kind of sad.
No.
I wanted Kong to at least go in the semifinals and be so we could have start a possible Hernandez Kong feud.
Actually, that would be kind of fun. Oh, speaking of Super Eric, just a quick story from the Belleville show. When I was speaking to Eric about re-signing him, I was also very interested in signing Super Eric as well. He lied to me and said that Super Eric didn't come. They didn't offer him enough money. Lo and behold, Super Eric did show up in the main event. And after it was over, Super Eric pulls a Mr. America.
When it comes crashing down and it... Never mind.
No. It's peek the mask up and just to the fans. So I have the photo proof. I could have them all over the internet. However, I respect Super Eric and his alter ego.
Give me the picture. I'll blackmail him. I want a TNA Canada. I want a Team Canada jersey, damn it.
That's all you're going to ransom them for? At least go for cash.
Okay. And $2 million Canadian.
I think
it's worth about 250. It's worth about 2.5 million here.
Crystal, what you were about to say?
I can't remember. I'm so tired right now. So tired.
Wakey, wakey. It's not that late.
I know. It's been a long day.
Oops, I forgot to mute my computer. All right. Where were we?
We're now at the Terror Dome match.
This one I actually want to find.
Here are the rules. The rules of the match was the first wrestler to escape the Terror Dome through a small hole at the top of the dome would become the number one contender to TNA's X Division Championship and would also replace Kurt Angle in the main event.
Yes.
And who won?
Kaz.
Kaz won, and Trista's phone died.
No!
Snake! Snake! Oh.
Mike! Mike! Hey, Mike, where are you going?
And now we get to the Deuces Wild semifinals.
As I am thoroughly ignored. Go on.
Yeah. That's because I didn't know what you were talking about.
Mike, where are you going? Come on.
Oh, that's right. We'll talk about Mike Adamly in a bit. And I got to bring up a new theme for him. You know, we have the old Gladiator. We have the second Gladiator theme as Gladiator News.
Mm-hmm.
For Mike Adamly News, we're going to play the original Gladiators theme.
All right.
But I haven't uploaded it yet. I'll do that next week. Team 3D defeats Christian Cage and Rhino with a little help from their little buddy, Johnny Dudley. I mean, Johnny Devine. Actually,
he needs a real Dudley name.
Wait, he's got the camera, right?
Yeah.
Spy Guy Dudley.
There we go.
I'm watching, not to go off track a little bit, but I got WWE 24/7. I'm watching, there's ECW on there.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, the Dudley Boys stable is at Sign Guy Dudley.
Mm-hmm.
Dances, Sign Guy Dudley, Chubby Dudley, Big Dick Dudley, and Bubba Ray Dudley.
Wow.
Pretty soon, I think Chubby's going to go away due to diabetes.
Mm-hmm.
And we will have Devon coming along shortly.
Who is in charge of this family? Anyway,
Mm-hmm.
Just from one of the ECW promos I remember where Devon is bullying Sign Guy.
Always
and
fun.
He asks who's in charge of this family, and Sign Guy holds up a sign that says Big Dick Dudley. Devon beats the shit out of him and repeats the question.
And pulls out a little sign that says
Devon.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
But I interrupted you.
Yeah. Then we have LAX defeating AJ Styles Super with minor interference from Hector.
And is there any way we can tie this back to Lockdown 07 when Hector was working for or against LAX?
Against LAX.
So maybe he's finally come around. Maybe he just hated Conan.
Well, who doesn't hate Conan? And now we get to the match which pissed off a lot of people.
And that was?
The Knockouts Makeover Battle Royal.
Ah, yes, because of who lost.
Ah! We'll get to that.
I'll hush.
Gail Kim versus ODB versus the Beautiful People versus Rox Laveau versus Christy Hemme versus Jackie Moore versus Tracy Brooks versus the Big Boobed Vampire versus Rock Khan.
That would be Selena.
Right. The final three participants were Angelina Love, Rox Laveau, and Gail Kim. Angelina Love got eliminated, leaving Gail Kim and Rox Laveau. And since Gail Kim earned immunity in Impact, if she lost, Angelina Love would get her head shaved. But that didn't happen, did it?
Unfortunately, no.
Rox Laveau got busted wide open on the top of her dome, and then got held back by Angelina Love and Velvet Sky. Gail Kim had an easy way to the ladder and got the contract.
And poor Roxy.
Had her locks of hair shaved, and you know what chant we got?
What's that?
The wrong chant.
And that was?
Fire Russo. Fire Russo.
Then they must have dubbed in the Roxy chant when they showed the highlights Thursday night.
When they showed the highlights of...
When Roxy got her head shaved, I heard a Roxy chant. I did not hear that Fire Russo chant.
Some people were watching it in the pay-per-view. It was Fire Russo.
I apologize for those fans. Go ahead.
However, they do have reason to chant Fire Russo now because you know what they're getting for ratings now?
What's that?
0.9.
Oops.
However, then again, some of the ratings were squeezed because we're in playoffs.
That we are.
Because, let's be honest, there are four things that last way too long. Heaven, hell, any Randy Orton promo, and the NBA playoffs.
I would say the same thing for the World Series, but I don't care enough.
Right. And now we get to the Deuces Wild Finals, where we have new tag team champions in LAX.
Hooray!
To get the belts back.
And I'm quite happy for that. But then again, I'm a Hernandez freak, so... Yes,
and then finally, we have the TNA World Title Three-Way. Joe defeated Steiner and Kaz to retain the belt.
Now, if Russo were truly in charge, do you think he would have put the belt on Kaz?
No, he would have put the belt on Steiner.
Then I would have to assassinate him.
Huh?
Then I would have to assassinate Russo.
Why was wrong with Steiner having the belt?
I can't say that because when I think of Steiner with the belt, I think of 2003 Steiner. And he's admitted in an interview that he was pretty fucked up and really may not have been ready to get in the ring. And then he buried Triple H for it.
Mm-hmm. But if the way he's been going right now, it's like 2000 Steiner.
Mm-hmm. Every time I've seen Steiner working in the ring since he's shown up at TNA, it's been very, very good. Then again, I witnessed Frankensteiner in person, and I still don't believe it.
And we have a phone call.
Oh.
Yo.
Oh.
I realized something in my drunken state.
Luke.
I miss you guys.
Hello, everyone. And this is...
3 months ago, I told you bastards I'd never be on here again. Well, guess what? I'm drunk and I lied.
Me too?
Welcome back. Welcome back, D2.
How's everybody doing tonight?
We're okay.
We're all right. You're gone.
I've been worse, trust me.
That's true. You're not slurring just yet. So you're going to help us out James Storm style, are you?
Damn right. There's nothing better than a little James Storm. Because I can't find my beer or my pants. Or a phone charger, for that matter.
That would make you Blade Braxton.
Ouch.
Would it help if I'm wearing a giant that holds my beer?
You're wearing a koozie?
Did you see Impact this week?
We're going to get to that later on the show.
Okay.
But right now, it's Adam Lee time.
No!
Last week, Adam Lee.
I repeat, no.
Sometimes I think Adam would be better drunk.
There's an idea.
He sucks bad enough sober. Throw a couple beers down and see what happens.
Okay, what we have right here is, as you know, 2 weeks ago when we had the show with What the Fuck Week Part 1, Adam Lee walked out. So here we are for What the Fuck Week Part 2 and Adam Lee's... And Adam Lee's explanation. And as you can hear through the chants right now, he is getting booed more than most heels in WWE right now.
Secondary only to William Regal and to some extent, no, not even Orton. Edge doesn't even get booed this much.
And plus he's in Canada, so here it is.
WWE $100,000.
ECW fans deserve.
I love WWE.
Despise me if you will, but enjoy the 100th episode of ECW on Sci-Fi. Thanks for listening.
Thoughts?
Epic fail.
That entire diatribe could have been summed up in 11 words.
Thank you.
Aside from woo. That entire diatribe could have been summed up in 11 words. I know I suck, but I'm here to stay, bitches.
Pretty well, pretty much. I mean, he's going to do everything in his power to shill WWE $300,000 to sit at the table and suck. For $300,000, I'll go up there and let Vince call me every name in the book.
$300,000, I'll take a shot in the mouth from Vince. What are you talking about? That's money.
That's what I'm saying. For $300,000, Vince can tell me to do just about anything.
You know what I hate about Online World of Wrestling now?
What's that?
With all these ads.
I haven't been over there in an age.
You gotta make money somehow, you know, man.
Okay, now we'll get to the ECW match. We'll get to the card. Mike Knox beat Tommy Dreamer, and Stevie Richards joined Taz and Adam Lee for commentary. Sure, Stevie chastised Adam Lee, but he also mentioned that Stevie Richards was in the first ever ECW match. Not TV show, mind you, match. Back in 1992 in the Bingo Hall.
Which was that line was probably fed to Adam Lee through the headset. Thank you, Kevin Dunn.
If it wasn't Kevin Dunn, it was probably... Yeah, it was Kevin Dunn. No, it's not Kevin Dunn that's directing. It's Kerwin.
Stevie had it on a note card and handed it to him.
Kind of like at a D&D table. Handed him a note. Yeah, I can see this.
Say this.
Kerwin
right.
Sifley's directs...
Okay.
The shows. Not Kevin Dunn. He's the EP of the shows. Kerwin Sifley's directs.
All right.
We had the return of, well, the biggest waste of time since Mike Adamly came up with Uno Dos Adios. The return of Kelly's expose.
Oh, that was awesome.
You were just enjoying the view.
No, seriously. If they left it as just push out of the way, try and dance, push out of the way, try and dance, instead of catfight, it could have been epic. In a dance-off sort of way.
Could be the best thing to happen to creative
mouth.
Dance since West Side Story.
Yeah, I missed West Side Rumble.
Well, at least I think Layla can dance better than she wrestles, which isn't saying much.
Then we had a interview with Lena Yada.
And I think Adam Lee actually had a good line for that one. Yada, 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 yada.
Which he probably made up. Then we had Kofi Kingston beat Matt Stryker.
Poor Matt.
And then after the match, Shelton Benjamin just literally beat the tar out of Kofi.
Poor Kofi.
Gotta love that black-on-black violence. Yay, WWE. Keep it up.
And then we had Colin Delaney walking backstage. All the babyface wrestlers clapped for Colin Delaney as he prepared for his match with Armando Estrada, who has been taking the same ab course as John Morrison.
I was going to say something like that. Where the hell was Lalo hiding that body?
My God.
I'm serious. He came out. I think I fell off my couch. I had the message board, the chat room that I usually talk to for this show, and the other gal in the chat room fell. And we both looked at each other and tried to type in that chat room in all caps, Armando's abs.
Yes,
and
he's traps got
and biceps and muscles that shouldn't be hidden under a suit.
Lalo comes from the same bodybuilding school as Vince McMahon. That proves it.
So what is he doing? Drinking a whole bunch of Ico Pro?
Probably. Vince will walk around in a regular suit, look like a regular guy, take it off, look jacked as hell.
Mírame.
Regular guy.
Mírame. Everyone look at my abs. Ha ha.
Escúchame.
Espérate, espérate, espérate. Look at my abs and listen to me. My name is Armando Alejandro.
Loving to Colin Delaney.
Es Clara.
This is, como se dice, how to lose, 101, ha ha.
And anyways, Colin Delaney rolls up Armando for the 1-2-3. And he gets his contract. And Punk and Kane beat the living tar out of Chavo and Bam Neely.
Poor Ox.
Now my question is, this whole time he's been wrestling without a contract. Have they been paying the poor kid? I mean, when you think about it from a storyline prospect, he ain't got a contract with him. At least give him like $20 to get his ass kicked.
I'm gonna.
No, they're paying them what they usually pay. Some of the indie guys that come in and wrestle with them, so probably like about $1,000.
$500
$750, something like that. If my source was accurate. Which would be just enough for him to rent a car and put a tank of gas in it and chase the guys every which way. If you want to take it from a pure storyline perspective.
Yeah. Because you'd think at this point he'd be riding with Tommy.
Right.
Tommy would have done it out of sympathy.
Yeah, you poor bastard. Come here, new Mikey.
Yes, come here, my new Mikey. I'm going to make you drive. And I get to sleep.
How long before the guy in the red suit sets him on fire?
Not long. Don't worry.
Anyways, we got some Canadian Raw and SmackDown to talk about. Vince said that he respected Regal's actions of killing the show and the lights.
We should. They stopped the Randy Orton match.
But the bad news is that it also stopped the CM Punk match.
But it stopped Randy Orton. It's the lesser of two evils.
True. Backstage, it's now probably confirmed that Trevor Murdoch's got a country singer gimmick.
Yay.
Actually, yay. He's got a good voice.
And it came right out of left field, and that's something that they need to do.
You know what he needs to sing when he wins a match?
What's that?
He's got to sing Toby Keith's How Do You Like Me Now?
Yeah, but then he'll get his ass kicked by Bob Holly.
No. If Trevor Murdoch wins the Intercontinental title, yes, he should sing How Do You Like Me Now.
This is a possibility? Yes.
Quite. Now. Not off of Jericho, but I'm sure I see it in the near future.
We had him crooning to Trish Stratus.
Which I almost completely missed.
Trish was uncharacteristically speechless.
Well, she was sharing in the what the fuck moment.
And guess who also shared in the what the fuck moment?
Mr. Simmons.
Everybody on three. One. Two. 3.
Damn!
I knew I'd get that wrong.
And then we have a handicap match between Paul Burchill and Kate Lee and some jobber from Toronto. Trista might know this guy, John Cutler.
Cutler, yeah.
And we have what the fuck moment number 2. Ross gets pushed aside for Mike Adamly.
Greatest announcer ever now.
I was actually more appreciative of JR.
What the fuck, yo?
Go back to playing Final Fantasy VIII.
JR's indignance was rather amusing, too.
Let's, well, here it is, right here. His first line of dialogue note was, "We don't know much about John Cutler except that his last name rhymes with Butler, and if he does win, that means the Butler would have done it."
You just pulled an Adamo.
That was his actual line of dialogue and deserves it this.
It would mean the Cutler did it?
No, the Butler did it. Butler.
This guy's an idiot. Lose a whistle.
Indeed, epic fail, because I know I groaned when I heard it, when I heard him say it.
I groaned too when I watched it. I had it on the DVR. And I wish I could have heard this sound. See what we got here also. And of course, Burchill and Katie Lee won with the curb stomp.
I understand. I think this was the match that Burchill had trouble setting it up. Hand slip.
Right. We also have here, we had Carlito's Cabana.
Long time no see.
Hello.
Anyways, guess who they had as guest?
Roddy the Piper.
Yes. Well, Santino showed up, and Roddy Piper said that it took it too far. Roddy Piper makes saying that he beat Mr. T, Hulk Hogan, and the biggest bastard of them all.
Cancer. Yay.
Yes. Piper beat cancer. I compare it like this. If you can beat Piper, if you can beat Hogan, you can beat cancer.
Yay.
Right.
And we have a squash match next. JBL defeats D.H. Smith.
No. JBL didn't defeat D.H. Smith. JBL beat the hell out of D.H. Smith. That poor, poor bastard.
I can't tell if that was... Sorry.
And he didn't style, too, because for the match, JBL cut a promo on John Cena from the backseat of his stretch limo.
That rocked.
That rocked for one reason and one reason only.
You were looking at his crotch.
It has led to the greatest Photoshop thread in the history of the forums.
Uh-oh. Hang on.
JBL.
I'm not looking.
Oh, no. Is it what I think it is?
Yes.
Naked JBL?
Yes. It is 28 pages of godliness. It is hilarious. It started with that entire match, because there's some really good screenshots where if you pixelate JBL, D.H. Smith is in a little bit of trouble. There, too. Shawn
I am scared to look. I am so scared to look. Sorry?
I would be scared.
Iron Sheik. The Iron Sheik brought
no.
Newman humbled.
Where on Russell Crap is it? Oh, there it is. Never mind. I found it.
Yes. I believe page 27, very first post, is a YouTube link to all of them in a video.
Oh, God.
I'm taking one for the team.
I love our forums.
You guys are a bunch of sick bastards. You know that?
Right.
Now we get to SmackDown.
Yes, please.
In a dark match, Jamie Noble beat Ted DiBiase Jr.
Yay, Jimmy Bale.
Yay, Ted DiBiase Jr.
And let's talk about the chase for the gold, or championship challenge.
Right.
Chase for the old.
Woo. Yes, a flair for the old.
Woo!
Makes me wish I hadn't sold my Brian Pillman DVD.
I love that DVD.
But I made $15 off of it.
Mm-hmm.
That's when I needed the money. Too bad it's
right.
All blown. God damn you, Mom. Anyways, quickly, Hardy beat CM Punk. Finley and Porter went to a double pin draw. And it was later announced that Finley and MVP would be in the match. Natalya beat Kelly Kelly with the sharpshooter.
Yay.
Was that a championship chase qualifier? Because that'd be hilarious.
I wish.
Damn.
Then they'd probably make Kelly Kelly win.
I want to see Natalya versus The Undertaker.
I have a DVD where The Undertaker's faced off against Jim Neidhart in an episode of Superstars.
Ha ha. Revenge of the Neidhart.
Yes. Batista defeats Morrison. Big Show beats Dreamer. Kane beats Chavo. We have here Cherry being dumped in favor of Maryse Ouellette.
Deuce and Domino's lost.
However, what they also gain is a wealth of wrestling knowledge, as Maryse is the daughter of Carl Ouellette.
Pirate.
Yes, the original pirate.
They learned how to plunder booty, which makes sense because they got her.
Oh, dear.
Nice one. And in a complete squash match, Vladimir Kozlov defeats Phil Atlas. Now we get to the over-the-top rope challenge.
Yes.
Winner faces The Undertaker at Judgment Day, which should be how it is. Batista beats everybody to seemingly win the match. However, in what the fuck moment number 4. Actually, no, this would make that week what the fuck moment number 2,477. Mm. Edge is miraculously cured. And Spears Batista to take the title shot.
Yay.
Actually, yay.
Better than Batista title shot number 215.
He has a point, you know.
There's only so many times you can watch Taker versus Batista and care.
Just the facts. And do you care? And we will get to this week's Friday Night SmackDown, Monday Night Raw, ECW, TNA Impact, and Pick'ems. But first, what happened on your last weekend, Nikki?
Ah, yes. Weekend number 2. Let me pull up my schedule again real quick so that I can keep all this straight. This past Friday night, May 9th, I was up in Bell Fountain, Ohio, their attendant with me to the, I believe, fourth show of American Lucha Corps. Wrestler slash promoter Sammy Callahan has been doing his damnedest to get this promotion off the ground, and I think he's off to a pretty darn good start. He's pulled in such big names as Jimmy Jacobs, Josh Prohibition, Tyler Black, among others. He's brought wrestlers as far afield as Minnesota, the North Star Express, a tag team that I'm especially enamored with. I hope I run into these guys again. Ryan, I miss you, man. The highlight of this show is a super heavyweight match that I told you I was going to come back and talk about, where they said the weight at the beginning of the match, the combined weight of the seven participants was just over 2,000 pounds. This includes Chris Madness at 290, Tommy Chill at 260, Osiris, who was just over 400, Hillbilly Jed, who is 5 feet tall and 4 feet wide, Dave Davison, who's, I believe, 275. Who am I missing here? Big Jim, a participant from Dynamic Championship Wrestling, he comes at about 260 himself. I know I'm missing a couple of people, but we saw moves in this match that would make cruiserweights shudder. We had the penultimate cruiserweight, everybody takes a turn jumping out of the ring spot. This included Osiris and Hillbilly Jed. Osiris did a top rope plancha. Jed came off the top turnbuckle to the floor. And to the rest of you guys in the match, you should have caught him. This match was probably the match of the night, next to Sammy Callahan and Johnny Gargano's hardcore match, which was not your standard WWE hardcore rules thing. This had a very ECW feel to it. I recommend this league if you are ever in Ohio, if you can make it to Bell Fountain. I believe their next show is in August.
What, American Lucha Corps?
American Lucha Corps.
And I hear they draw really good, like about 500, 600
We had about 500 people this past show, a lot of them kids. A lot of the guys bring their own merch. The armory is the armory that we're set up in is a great little place. Food's cheap. The parking sucks. That's the only thing I don't like about the place. So it took a little bit for us to get out of there. Saturday I had to get up at the butt crack of dawn to get from Columbus to Charleston, West Virginia, on a re-recruiting mission for former ECW champion CM Punk. Now, either he just fell out of bed himself, or he was bored out of his mind when we came up to talk to him. And I've heard good and bad about talking with Punk. There are some days that he just doesn't care. Other days that he'll mess with you. This was one of his don't care days. Good news.
Sorry about
the
extraneous noise back there. I'm setting up for something later.
No trouble.
All right, go on about Saturday.
All right. We had lunch at the mall where this autograph session was taking place, and then we drove over to Huntington. We got
but
to
before
Huntington
you do,
very
we have
very
a phone
early.
Call.
Oh, we do. Who's there? Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Hello?
Hello?
Yes.
Yes.
Is that you, DJ?
It's me.
Yay!
Pardon my tardiness, but I was just in Cleveland at the Cube to see the Cavaliers extend the series that is now going to go to a Game 7, and I was there, and I enjoyed it thoroughly. Go Cavs.
Awesome. Are you also late because you got a speeding ticket?
Boo. It's all Punk's fault.
Your timing is impeccable. We were just talking about this.
What's that?
I just talked about the CM Punk signing. Tell your side of the story.
Oh, well, I was I took a wrong turn somewhere on the way from Columbus to Charleston. I ended up like north of Parkersburg, and I had to make up time on the road. I ended up getting pulled over like 5 minutes from the signing itself. But I did make it to the signing, and I was wearing my CM Punk shirt, the old school ROH CM Punk shirt. And he was, like Nikki was saying, he was pretty much having one of those days. But he did say nice shirt to me under his breath, so I was pretty proud of that. But at the end, after I got my picture taken with him, I made the mistake of saying good luck. He didn't say anything back to me. I know he has a tattoo that says luck is for losers, so I pretty much called him a loser. But anyway, I still like CM Punk, and he was nice to me, so it was a good signing. Thumbs up.
Now for all the goofiness that happened in Huntington. And I think I told, did I tell you any of this yet, DJ?
No, I have not heard any of them. Well, I heard a little bit of it, but you can refresh my memory and let everybody else know.
All right. We got there about 2 o'clock, and Bear was with me, so he decided he was going to grab an extra 20 winks, because we didn't have to be in line to get in the arena until about 6:30. I'm walking up to the arena, as I'm coming around the corner, the WWE truck is just pulling in. The truck driver hops out and introduces himself to me. We shake hands, and we walk up to the arena. Now, I got a little further than I probably should have, but did get a chance to speak with the operations people, and we found out that the truck couldn't pull up and move the ring in just yet because there was graduation still going on. After all, we're in the shadow of Marshall University. So the truck drivers pulled the truck up fairly close to the arena, but not backed in yet. And he's blocking a couple of cars. He goes to get a bite to eat, and I stand outside. I have people approaching me saying, when is this truck going to be moved? Because we'd like to leave. One of the gals was a photographer, and the other car belonged to a Oriental family. Hello?
Paula, you're on the air.
Hello? Hello?
Who is this?
Hi. I got a question.
Oh, no. Here we go.
What was that?
You sound familiar.
I sound familiar? I ain't never called this one before. I was having a chat with one of my buddies about wrestling, and he told me wrestling was fake.
It is fake to everybody except for one unintelligible idiot.
What?
Yes, one intelligible idiot who was weeping through like a reunion show. Who had?
Are you telling me wrestling really is fake? I've been watching wrestling since I was little. Are you telling me
is fake?
When Macho Man Randy Savage and Miss Elizabeth got married and Jake the Snake came in and he tore everything up, that was fake?
That was fake.
Let me put it to you like this, brother.
Wait.
Hey.
And when Stone Cold Steve Austin...
Hey.
Yeah?
Let me put it to you like this, buddy. I've got 3 screws in my knee, 1 herniated disc in my back, and fused vertebrae in my back. Wrestling's fake. I fucking dare you.
I'm telling you it's not fake. I watched wrestling my whole life. My daddy and his daddy and his daddy before him been watching wrestling.
Yes, back in the days when Abraham Lincoln was wrestling.
Hey, I remember those days.
Okay, well, I don't know my daddy's daddy, but I know that my daddy and me watched wrestling on the couch every week since I was a little boy. I don't look fake to me. And when I was bad, my daddy would put me in the tombstone, and it hurt. And
all
I don't
right.
think that's fake to me.
I'm sure it
I'm
isn't.
Sorry,
the concussion still
you
sounds pretty real.
You have an unavailable number. Please call again shortly.
And one sound effect.
Coming right up. By the way, I know where that number came from. I don't know the person, but I recognize the area code.
Okay.
Look at that.
It's from the Corbin City area of New Jersey.
I'll beat his ass. I'm drunk and looking for a fight.
I think you may have one, that guy. Go on, Nikki.
All right, so I'm up there talking with the operations people and the truck driver, and we're waiting for the graduation thing to wrap up. I have people approaching me saying, when's the truck going to get moved? I said, give them about another 5 or 10 minutes. We need to let the people that are handling the set for the Marshall graduation back out so then we can put our truck inside. So, sure enough, within that window, the truck driver does get the truck moved, and these guys can go ahead and take off. We get the truck back into the building, and I walk into the building with the truck driver. And following behind us are a handful of operations guys. And the only WWE guy that I think I saw there was Charles Robinson, and he didn't say anything. So, into the arena. I have a seat with the truck driver. I was just going to sit and chat with him, and I was going to watch set up. So a gentleman finally looked at me and said, are you going to be working? Deep down, if I had a place to put my coat, or I didn't think anybody was going to steal anything, I would have helped. At least until Charles Robinson would have thrown me out. So I said, no, I was planning on staying here and talking to the driver. He said, well, you don't need to be in here if you're not working. So I said, yes, sir, and I left.
Mm-hmm.
But I did get to see the inside of the truck and see some of the stuff that goes with the ring, which was kind of cool. Normally I don't get to see that. So I ended up chatting up with one of the other security guards while we were waiting for wrestlers, which, by the way, nobody signed. We had no wrestlers come up. Not even Tommy Dreamer signed that night. So, DJ, you didn't miss anything.
Awesome.
The only other kind of neat thing that happened before the doors opened was that I did assist a blind lady through the barricades and up the street. She was just trying to pass through to get to the highway on the other side. So I walked her through and ended up chatting with one of the security guards for a bit. Let's see. I'll give you a real quick rundown of the card. Finley and Jamie Noble over the Clones was our opening event. Let's see. Followed by Kofi Kingston over Mike Knox.
Mike Knox, who so far has been on fire lately.
Did I get that right? Give me a second here. I'm going through my pictures awful quickly. No, I'm sorry. Kofi Kingston over Ted DiBiase Jr., who I finally got to see, and he's got a great look, and I hope they get him on television soon. Mike Knox was in the next match when he killed Tommy Dreamer. Divas tag match, Michelle McCool and Cherry over Natalie Neidhart and Victoria. CM Punk wins a triple threat against Shelton Benjamin and Chuck Palumbo. Mark Henry and the Big Show went and pounded on each other for a bit. Big Show pulling it off. Let's see. Matt Hardy, MVP for the U.S. title. Matt retains, of course. Morrison and Miz retain the tag titles over Jesse and Festus. Our main event, Edge versus The Undertaker, with a fan vote for the stipulation, which ended up being a no disqualification match. Highlights for me from this show were Kofi Kingston took a drawing of a sign I did for him, and that Edge and Undertaker came out of the ring to the sidelines on our side. But still, a very good show, very loaded card for a house show.
Sounds like a neat SmackDown taping.
It could have passed for a SmackDown taping. In fact, I think I had a better card than some of the SmackDown tapings recently. That was a long drive home. The next morning I was on the road solo and got out the door very late to get to the Matt Hardy signing in Dayton. I ran into a few friends there, including a buddy of mine from Cincinnati, Professor Andrew. DJ, you might know him. Igor,
yes,
kind of guy that sits with us.
Yeah, he goes to OVW.
I got there at like 20 to 12, so it was a cattle drive by the time I got to Matt. He did sign my DVD, and I gave him a CD full of pictures to pass along to his brother, pics that I had taken from various shows dating all the way back to 2003 before Jeff Hardy got fired the first time. I did not get my picture with Matt Hardy because they weren't allowing it. I made up for that big time, though. We got out of there. Professor Andrew and his friend brought me over to their car and gave me a present. They gave me a Ruthless Aggression Series Paul Heyman figure. So I have another figure of my dear uncle.
If you have too many of them, you can send one over here.
No, it's not a double.
Oh.
We then spent 20 minutes playing Dude, Where's My Car? Because I wanted to get my car so I could go to the next autograph signing over at Cricket, because the weather was so bad, there was no way we were going to get anybody behind the Nutter Center. It had been raining all morning. It had been raining into the afternoon. So I decided, you know what, I'm just going to go to the second session. I was not planning on going to the Kofi Kingston and Eve Torres autograph session. But here I was. I got there at about 10 minutes to 2, and the line wasn't bad. And they let me go ahead and talk to the guys. The people at Cricket recognized me from prior autograph sessions. I was there in October when Kane came through. I was there when Nitro and Melina were there. I usually raise a racket when I'm there anyway. Kofi thanked me for the sign. I asked him if he still had it. I'd like to autograph it back to him. He said he'd already put it in the mail to send home. It will be hanging on the walls at the Kingston residence. I'm rather flattered.
Awesome.
I got both of their... Oh, it's sweet. I got both their autographs and a picture with them. Then I got a bonus. There was a road agent supervising the autograph session since it was only an hour. Gentleman that, since you're an old schooler wrestling fan, Seidelman, you might know the man.
Who?
Tony Garea.
Tony Garea has been a road agent for, hell, as long as the original Hart Foundation was wrestling. I think it was still wrestling when the original Hart Foundation was there. Tony Garea, a former tag team champion. Actually, a couple times over as tag team champion.
Okay.
Actually, I don't have all of his stats offhand. I could, gallery. As I find him, Tracy Smothers, Tough Enough. Here we go, Tony Garea. Tony Garea, old wrestler. He actually held the WWF tag titles for quite a while. With Haystacks Calhoun, Dean Ho, Larry Zbysko, and Rick Martel twice.
The model.
He was also an NWA San Francisco tag team champion with Pat Patterson. Wink, wink. Defeating
your
Don Morocco.
Hey, he's available, fellas.
No, Tony Garea is married. He's got a wife.
And probably grandkids.
Yeah. His finishing move was the octopus hold.
Really?
Yes.
That is a... I'm not trying to smooch up to Garea because I saw the octopus... the only time I saw it was with Tajiri, and it's still one of my favorite. It's still one of my favorite submissions.
Mm-hmm.
But quick story with this. I walked up to Mr. Garay, and he took a look. He looked me up and down, and he says, I remember when your uncle used to come up and ask me for autographs. And he asked me how I was doing, and I told him about all the work that dear Uncle Paul is doing for the Sun website between Heyman Hustle and his blog. And he asked me where Paulie was operating out of, and to be honest, I don't know. I don't know if he's back in Philadelphia. Guerrero mentioned Chicago. I'm almost positive that Paulie's still in the States. I just don't know where exactly he's operating out of.
Maybe in the basement of the bingo hall.
Shh, not so loud.
In the basement of the bingo hall!
Shame on you, sir.
Thank you.
Let's see. The card for Dayton was pretty much the same as what I had in Huntington.
Except you got a bonus. A great picture of Tommy Dreamer.
Oh, my Lord. Okay, yeah, I do have to talk about this picture.
Wink, wink.
Yes, I am going to have to talk about this picture. Tommy Dreamer was the one fighting Ted DiBiase Jr. And, of course, DiBiase Jr. being the heel in this match, pretty much ran Tommy pillar to post and won the match with a handful of tights, and I mean a handful. A big enough handful that I have, ladies and gentlemen, the first example of extreme ass. I think you hung up on me.
No, I'm still here.
We're just all really speechless.
But yes, I do have this. I do have this picture, and I'm not sure what I'm going to do with it just yet. Ah! Fail? I expected to be booed, but fail?
Nah, it went beyond the line of fail. Actually, there are two steps. Actually, we have three steps.
All right.
We have your basic...
That I expected.
Then we have your... And then utter stupidity.
This isn't stupid. This is just bad. It's funny as anything, and I'm tempted. I don't know, DJ, should I print it out for the next time I see Tommy?
I don't know. It could be the end of the world.
I'm gonna have to go put it on my You Were Warned page next to all the old man ass pictures.
I can just imagine the eBay listing. Tommy Dreamer signed ass picture. Start the bidding at $3. Seriously,
what?
You can have it.
Oh dear.
Oh God. Anyways.
So I won't talk further about this one. I ended up going to dinner with a handful of friends right after the show. We hit a BW3's after a fashion. Got in late, got a little bit of sleep. Actually, to show my ugly mug at work before I got to go to Raw.
Yes, let me pull up those results from Detroit. Detroit Rock City.
While you're looking for that, I'll run through the dark match.
And I got him.
Ah.
Ron the Truth Killings.
Yay!
Defeated the natural Nick Metro.
Alias Nikki of the Spirit Squad. Killings came out to a remix of his TNA theme and was trying to get the crowd to get into the What's Up chants. He had a few of us. Remember, me and Ref Sean were in the same section. We were doing it. But it wasn't very loud. You may continue.
Then we had Hacksaw Jim Duggan defeat Conrad Kennedy III.
CK3 is a excellent heel wrestler in the Michigan and Ohio area. He works for American Lucha Corps. We were surprised to see him there, that see him at the Raw taping. We were expecting Eddie Venom or Nate Mattson.
Then we had Paul Birchall and Kate Lee defeat Super Crazy.
Squash.
Yeah.
Nothing but squash. You call it zucchini, I call it squash.
And then Lundrick defeated Charlie Haas and Robbie McAllister.
Only thing disappointing about this match, no Lucha Man. None whatsoever. Big thing.
And now
at the
shall
end of
we
the...
talk about Raw?
Just one little thing at the end of this match. Spanky got a hold of a microphone and says, I'm sick of working on Heat. I want to be on Raw. So we might see him on TV next week.
Being squashed by JBL in a rage.
No.
You're probably right. By naked JBL.
Stop that.
Oh, no.
I've been to the WrestleCrowd forums lately. Naked JBL is the new craze, and I think it's hilarious. And
I went and there's a video compilation, and I got through about 30 seconds of it. I will say this to you, the WrestleCraft forums, any of you guys who are listening, I give you credit. You did not exaggerate anything with JBL. And I'll leave it at that. We were going to talk about Raw.
We start with God Save the Queen.
But it was a fine rendition.
A fine rendition by Lillian. That's what she should do. She should sing all of her introductions.
She'll probably still get their names wrong.
That's because she doesn't botch when she's singing.
Let me get back with you.
Anyways, King Rachel said he would make example by throwing two fans out of the bank and threatened to throw everybody out with no refunds. Mickey James just said it was his brother and girlfriend. And begged King Regal not to throw him out. Regal ordered security to throw the two fans out of the building while Mickey James protested, and Regal to James, or Regal said that James would be thrown out of the building and stripped of the belt, and Cena came.
Boo. To a sizable pop.
Yeah, from what I heard. Cena said that he was watching a lot of Raw, and there's a lot of people who think Regal is messing up worse than Mike Adamly.
Got to give him points for that, DJ.
What's that?
You got to give Cena points for that line.
Which line was that? I must have missed it.
That Regal was messing up more than Mike Adamly.
Oh, yeah, okay, I know what you mean now. Yes, I do give you points for that.
Hold on, we got some loud kids and loud parents outside the door, and it's really pissing me the hell off, so I decided to shut the door.
All right.
Fucking hillbilly rednecks around here. Pissing me off.
I didn't think they were that far northwest.
Yeah, we're that far northwest.
But
I was born in West Virginia. Beat that.
My
I
parents
were born to a trailer park, an industrial park, a strip club, a tire salon, and a freeway off ramp.
Winner!
I don't know. Yorkville has all of those elements and a steel mill.
I'd rather take that. Anyways, Cena said he was reading from emails from fans over Regal's actions. One fan wrote that it felt like WCW Thunder all over again.
That got a pretty big pop, too.
That was a good one. I'll give you the credit there.
And wanted to start a Fire Regal.
I wanted to start a Fire Russo one because that's precisely what the fuck we've been getting.
Regal promised not to turn the lights on and book John Cena against Randy Orton in the main event tonight. And then Lillian sang R-E-S-P-E-C-T.
As Cena flimsily connected it to Motown,
mm-hmm.
when he should have had her sing America the Beautiful, Let Freedom Ring.
Right, but you gotta admit, still a good song nonetheless.
Oh no, no complaint.
Well, as I go for, you know, every week always has a what the fuck moment.
Mm-hmm.
And we have another Santino Morella moment right here.
All right. DUI.
Shut up or your face, Mickey stupid Heyman. I'm sorry, Santino.
No, you're fine. You're fine.
I love Santino Morella. Greatness in a can.
Santana.
Sandusky.
Oh God, I used to know
Santico.
This thing back in. Santoco, Santokyo, Sandinista, San Luis Obispo. San Luis Obispo. I finally found out what that is. That's actually a city in California.
Yes.
I didn't know that.
And everybody can marry there now. Anyways.
Santino. I said my name was Santino Marella.
Hardcore Hottie.
Hardcore Hottie? Really?
Calling Dr.
Excuse
Freud.
Excuse me.
Paging Dr. Freud.
Thank you, Mike Adamly. Your badness is now transported to me, asshole.
Somebody has the hots for Holly.
It was Mickey staring at his tights the whole time.
He was wearing hot pink.
You're just imagining him in his sparky plug outfit.
Yeah. I'd rather be looking at Cody.
Gentlemen, start your engines. Hardcore Holly and Cody Rhodes defeated Santino Marella and Carlito. Santino Marella invited Piper to be at ringside. Piper's distraction led to Hardcore Holly and Cody Rhodes retaining the belts.
And Piper coming out was on a rare occasion that I actually got to see Bear Mark out.
Oh, wow.
I've only seen him mark out two or three times. He marked out at Cyber Sunday when Piper came out for the Legends tag match. He marked out when we met Ricky the Dragon Steamboat at a house show in Canton. And he marked out when Piper's music hit at this show.
In a match, Mr. Kennedy defeated Gene Snitsky. And we got this brilliant promo by Santino. Let me warm up my voice.
Me.
Thank you. Hulk Hogan is not champion. Ronald Reagan is not president. And Michael J. Fox doesn't go back in time to become a werewolf. And then we get a backstage segment. Here's what I noticed about this backstage segment. I didn't know if you guys saw it live, but WWE catering seems to be really cheap. You saw some assorted beverages, and you saw, like, five boxes of cereal.
Which didn't make a lick of sense. Made absolutely no sense to me.
Maybe the Red Wings had a morning skate.
Well, they're still in it, though. Well, didn't they just close up the series? Or, no, they're going to close it up Saturday.
It's 3-1 Detroit, and I hope Detroit wins so that way my Penguins from Pittsburgh can go to Detroit, and maybe I can see them play in the Stanley Cup. So I would be looking forward to that thoroughly.
Okay.
Anyway, proceed.
Now this pissed off WrestleCrap's favorite resident hobo, Blade Braxton. John Cena's gone out with Mickey James.
No!
better Cena than Trevor Murdoch, no offense.
Yeah, but at least Trevor Murdoch would get to sing. At least we get to see him sing. What is John
Cena? Well, maybe
we'll
get to see. Oh, maybe John Cena will rock. I missed that.
But go back to his awesome, like, battle rap, word life. I don't know. Go back to that guy. Where's the throwbacks? Please. With the lock and chain around his neck. That's the John Cena that I know and love.
All right, let's continue here. Diva tag match, Mickie James and Maria defeats Beth Phoenix and Melina Perez. You know, Melina.
Mm-hmm.
Then we had Nikki's favorite thing. The highlight reel.
A setless highlight reel, although on the way to the ring, Jericho did give a nod to the sign that I brought to the show, which had the set on it.
And then we had the return of Jeff Hardy.
To which I got to shake, I at least got to shake his hand on the way down. That's probably the best place you'll see me on the video.
Yep. And he defeated Umaga.
So, yay, he's back and he's not in trouble anymore. Just a note about this segment when Jeff's microphone went out. Instinctively, I turn around and I look at the big screen, and the big screen was blurry. I actually thought they were going to do some sort of goofy angle that he was still on drugs. Although,
and then
next, one of them...
Oh, sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, I was flipping through assorted videos of Raw through YouTube and noticed that the screen was blurry even during Jericho's entrance. So this might have been an all-night thing.
And then we had Lance Kane and Trevor Murdoch defeat Crime Time. Lance Kane and Trevor Murdoch looked to be back on the same page with a victory. Lance Kane grabbed the microphone and said they were back in roll, and Trevor Murdoch saying it had something to do with it. Kane Murdoch saying you got to know when to hold them. Know when to fold them. Know when to rock away. Know when to run.
And know when he's in a barbershop moment.
Yep. Punched him straight between the eyes.
I honestly did not see it coming. I thought they were going to keep him together a little bit longer after that.
Yeah.
Kane is going to be big time. Well, you watch. Next year around this time. And I hope somebody had mentioned this somewhere, I forget where I picked up on this, but they wanted to have Lance Cade feud with his mentor, HBK, who actually, I think, had a hand in training him, and to call him HBK to get over as a heel and kind of feud with HBK. So I think that would be pretty cool. Anyway.
Could still happen. They talked about that a while back, too, when Garrison Cade.
Anyways, main event, Randy Orton beats John Cena. Randy Orton has entrance music that qualifies.
That's crap.
The opening is great. The rest of it is not.
Gets the Dragon Roar and...
Whoa!
It gets both.
They might actually go back to the Burn in My Light because he actually had CM Punk's Heel Switch Engage theme before CM Punk had it. And I think he used it for a couple shows. I remember it, and then he went back to Burn in My Light. So maybe we will see that after all.
I hope so because all that theme did was confuse everybody. And I was disappointed that I didn't get to sing my alternate lyrics to Randy Orton's theme.
And we have those alternate lyrics available on Raw for, I want to say, March. That reminds me, I really got to edit that stuff all together.
Which is that? Oh, the live show we did?
Yeah.
All right.
and I'd like to talk about SmackDown tonight.
Well, can I get in? Can I get in the post show for Raw? Because we actually had something happen. Show ends with Hunter at the top of the cage, which had been lowered after the main event was pretty much thrown out. With him looming over Randy Orton. Now, he is damn lucky that he was still standing up there because the cage was not secured when he got up there. And that's why Randy fell through it. Well, Hunter climbs down, but he doesn't get out of the cage in time as Randy Orton comes back down the ramp with JBL and Umaga. And they all climb in the cage. Now, mind you, these are hardly fair odds against the evil Dr. Levesque, so he was going to fight them with one hand. A man who never lacks allies, the first thing that kicks on is the DX anthem, and out comes Shawn Michaels. Followed short order by John Cena, who still gets a good pop for even his theme being played for a third time. Faces take it pretty handily. They all hit their finishers at the same time. Send everybody packing. Cage comes up. Hunter decides that they can't leave without doing the DX intro. So he sets up. We get to, you know, he looks around. John Cena's looking to leave. He's like, no, you could be in the intro too. Come here. Just make sure you scooch down. And he gets to, for the thousands in attendance, and for the millions watching at home. And Sean taps him on the shoulder. He's like, what? Oh, wait, what time is it? 20 after 11? Sorry. And for the millions who might see this on the internet but are certainly not watching at home. And for poor JR, who's been sitting at the table for 2.5 hours now, and I'm sure he'd like to get up and go backstage while we continue our discourse about waterfalls and leaky faucets. Sean taps on his shoulder. Oh, you got to go too? Okay, we'll make this quick. So they do the DX thing, and then loot the crowd, get us all riled up, head to the top of the ramp, and do the DX pyro poses before heading off for the night.
Nice.
Good stuff. Very good stuff.
And so, now I would like to talk about SmackDown tonight.
Yes, let's talk about SmackDown.
Because we're going to skip ECW, we're going to skip Impact. We're only going to cover two things on SmackDown. Actually, we're just only going to cover this one thing on SmackDown, then we got to get to the pick'ems.
Yeah.
The Familia is in the ring right now. Ring announcer Tony Chimmel, he's once again announcing SmackDown, thank God. Now, Nikki, you watched this tonight. Was it Tony Chimmel or was it Justin Roberts?
For SmackDown?
Yeah.
SmackDown was Chimmel.
Okay, tonight it was Chimmel, thank God.
And the house shows over the weekend. We got Fink.
Yeah, baby.
That's right.
I love the Fink.
Fink needs to announce every single pay-per-view.
Please.
Yes, he does.
I posted on the Wrestling Crowd forums about this. I would love to, as much as I love Lillian, the sweetheart, I'm a Fink mark all the way.
A lot of people are Fink marks. Anyways, it starts with Tony Chimmel forcing to announce Edge as the next World Heavyweight Champion. Edge said last week the world witnessed a medical miracle when he was able to get medical clearance just in the nick of time. Edge promised to beat The Undertaker this Sunday at Judgment Day. Edge said The Undertaker has never defeated him without using a legal chokehold. Not true. May we bring up WrestleMania? May we bring up other matches? Perhaps.
But he's saying that Undertaker couldn't beat him without the Devil's Triangle, is what he's saying.
Which is dead wrong. Then Theodore Long sprinted out and said, sorry, I'm late. Guerrero, Vicky chastised him. Vicky said while they were done, Long's to report to her office. Long said he was late because he was summoned to WWE headquarters. Long said that they also asked to see Vicky, but she blew off the appointment, probably for afternoon delight with Edge. Long said he answered all their questions about Vicky's relationship with Edge. I think it says everything she does is for the benefit of SmackDown, for Edge laying the SmackDown on her.
Well, left to interpretation.
Theodore Long, yeah, thank you. Teddy Long said the board of directors sees it a bit differently and read this statement. Ms. Guerrero, in response to your recent actions as GM of SmackDown, more specifically involving your dubious decision to strip The Undertaker of the World Heavyweight Championship, we, the board of directors of World Wrestling Entertainment, have decided to take disciplinary action against you. You have an option. Either compete in your first wrestling match tonight and keep your position, or choose not to compete, at which time you'll be removed immediately as GM of SmackDown. Long also added a blurb that said, if Vicky decides to walk away, then he knows someone who would love to take over.
Holla.
Vicky Guerrero said, over my dead body, and fired Teddy Long. Long said, you can't fire me, because
well,
I quit. And then Long said by saying, I forgot to tell your opponent, and your opponent tonight is The Undertaker!
Yay!
I had the theme, I had to do that.
No, you're fine. And to any of the fans listening, go to SmackDown House shows because Vicky never attends them. There's no camera. So she runs so Teddy runs the house shows.
And now it's time for Judgment Day Pick'ems. It's just going to be three of us this time around.
That's fine.
I just got a... Here it is, right here. Not many matches list this right now, so this will probably be an easy one to pick. Yeah, only six matches listed, so there might be more.
Mm-hmm.
We'll start at the bottom, go to the top. Chris Jericho versus Shawn Michaels, non-title match. And we'll start with Nikki.
Whew. Michaels has momentum going into this, but I am not going to rule out Batista. Jericho has been having heel leanings, and so has Dave. Makes it a very tough call. I'd like to see Jericho pull this off, especially since Dave's going to interfere. He has nothing better to do.
Right. DJ?
I see Big Dave interfering as well, but I don't think it gives Jericho the win. Instead, I think he attacks Shawn Michaels, and then Shawn Michaels will pick up the victory by disqualification, setting up a three-way cluster, you know what. So
clusterfuck at One Night at WWE Uncensored, which is 2 weeks away.
Wow.
But yeah, I'm going to Michaels by DQ here.
Good pick.
Now we get to the five main matches. Yeah, right. JBL versus John Cena. DJ.
This was a tougher one than I anticipated, but John Cena, I think, because he's been off of TV for a while, they have to give him a marquee win. So I'm going to go with John Cena.
Nikki?
Definitely Cena. JBL doesn't need the win, and Cena needs to get his momentum back so he can start sneaking back into the title picture.
Yeah, Cena's got this one in the bag. Women's title match. It's Mickie James versus the Glamazon versus Melina. Nikki?
Two heels, one face. Mickie retains.
DJ?
I agree. Mickie retains.
Yeah, the Centaur has this one. Undertaker versus Edge, World Heavyweight title match. Nikki. I didn't do that right. It's Edge versus The Undertaker!
Wow. Again, this is another really tough call. because Edge deserves it because he is like the A number one wrestling heel in the entire freaking company. Undertaker does not need the title. But I know that they kind of owe him from him getting hurt last year.
So who are you going with?
That's what I'm going to have to go with Undertaker.
DJ?
I think that if the Undertaker wins, you really can't. I don't know where they would go with him. They already have Triple H as a face champion. They have Kane as a face champion. I think that they get more mileage out of Edge winning the title and have Undertaker chasing him the rest of the summer or into the next few pay-per-views. So unless they wanted to, in order to strip him and then give him the belt again so they could add another, instead of it being, I don't know if he's a six-time champion, make it a seven-time or whatever, if it's that kind of deal where they just wanted to add more to his resume, but I don't know. I just think if they're going to strip him, it's not going to go right back to him. So I'm actually going to go against the grain and pick Edge here.
Edge by DQ, meaning he gets the belt.
Good point.
Vicky will find somebody to screw over Undertaker. Her special guest referee, anyone?
Well, she sounded remorseful when she did strip the belt, although false as it may sound, the fact that she put him back into the match means she wasn't entirely 100% against it.
Right. Then we have a tag team championship match. Kane and Punk versus Miz and Morrison. We're going to have some fun here. One word or less. Nikki.
Retain.
DJ.
Brimstone.
Abs.
Them two.
World title match. WWE Championship, excuse me. H. Orton Cage. Who's got it? DJ.
In the words of the immortal William Regal, Triple H.
Nikki?
Hunter retains. I don't see him putting it back on Orton.
Hunter retains, and I think he loses it at either Night of Champions or Great American Bash. Actually, let me just give the brief right now for the upcoming pay-per-views. In 2 weeks is WWE Uncensored. Then we have the Night of Champions, Great American Bash, and SummerSlam on, which, aren't you going to SummerSlam, Nikki?
I am. Bear and I have seats on Spitside, so we won't be on camera. But the pictures are going to be really nice.
Okay.
And I'm doing Unforgiven.
You're going Unforgiven?
Cleveland.
Nice.
Ooh, when is that?
That's right after SummerSlam. It'll be in September.
I wonder if I'll be in Columbus then. That would be a good investment for me. Should I be back already? Oh, I hope it's not the weekend of the Ohio State USC game because I might be in California. It's not the second weekend,
take...
is it? Like around the 13th or 14th? That would suck.
Might be. Settlement, you got the dates on there on in front of you?
What, for the pay-per-views?
Yeah.
Yeah, hold on. I gotta get back to WWE.com. Okay, here they are. Unforgiven is September 7.
All right. I might be able to go.
And SummerSlam is August 17th.
Which is the Sunday that ends Gen Con in Indianapolis, which means I'll already be in Indy.
By the way, there's a poll from on WWE.com. Which match from Judgment Day 2007 was your favorite?
Hmm.
I wonder if they put a Chris Benoit match on there.
No, they didn't.
Of course not.
Figures.
Do they have an other?
Nope.
Who was it Judgment Day last year? Was that Kali and Cena or no?
Yeah, Kali and Cena.
I don't even remember that pay-per-view.
Yeah, who cares? It wasn't that good of a pay-per-view anyways. Except my friend Tony got to go see that pay-per-view live. Went to see
Tony
the pay-per-view
Devine?
Live. No,
We're out of time, fans. We gotta run.
We're out of time.
No, you might know him on the WrestleCrap forums as Dude Queen of WrestleCrap.
Nah.
I'm still relatively new, so I don't really remember names.
All right.
Actually, I posted a little bit up there today myself, so.
Here we go. They have now for WWE 24/7 for next month for June. Which King of the Ring would you like to see?
2002.
King of the Ring, 93, 95, or 96?
Yeah.
Did Owen win any of those years?
Owen won 94.
Oh, boo. That's the one I want to see, because that was my favorite King of the Ring. My first one that I ever saw.
I'll watch 93 over and over again.
Who won 93? Was that Brett?
Yeah, Brett won 93.
I would have taken
93.
I would have taken 97.
With Trips winning?
Yeah, because 96 the Austin won.
Yeah.
Was 95 King Mabel?
Yes.
Big Daddy V!
Which got inducted into WrestleCrap.
And rightfully so.
Because that show had a loud chanting of ECW! 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 ECW!
Gee, I don't know what in the world they could be talking about.
Anyways, I'm trying to find something here to talk. Where is it? I found the Naked JBL thread.
Yeah! Wait,
I'm sorry.
Am I cheering again?
You're cheering for Naked JBL.
It's better than Naked Snitsky.
I'm glad I missed that one.
This is going to prowrestling.net. Sorry if this was already posted. Didn't see it. The Hardy DVD has topped the TV DVD sales at billboard.com.
No,
it's the first WWE... Hold on. It's the first WWE DVD since the Bret Hart DVD to crack the top 10. And the first since Rise and Fall of ECW to claim the number one spot.
Hmm. Oh, dear.
Now that's interesting, isn't it?
'Tis. I don't have it in front of me, but in my travels, I actually ponied up some money and bought the WWE Kids magazine.
Uh-oh.
And I found it infinitely amusing. And I'm sorry that they're not going to keep going with the comics that are in there, because it wasn't just Hardy's in Space. There were like four comics in there. Now, they have one in there. Now, anybody here who watched WWE in the 90s might recognize the name Crozor. I had to do my homework and find out who Crozor really was. But in the case of this comic, he was an alien that showed up who wanted to take on wrestlers.
Unfortunately, he had a perspective issue and probably got stomped by Batista. It's worth the $4 for just a giggle, but don't subscribe.
Right. And that brings
and
us to an end of another show.
That it does.
For Nikki, for DJ, I'm Robert Saddleman saying uno, dos, adios.
Not all.
Put some clothes on, JBL.
Thank you, too, for doing the show, but it's time to go.
Indeed.
Thank you, Mr. Saddleman.
You're welcome.
Thanks. And thanks for the airtime.
You're welcome. By the way, Nikki?
Yeah.
When's the soonest you could work on the eBay things?
Possibly this weekend, but I've got to get my pictures done first.
Okay, thank you.
All right, no problem.
All right, adios.
Bye.
Bye.
Later.